I was talking earlier this week about typically when you go to church on Mother's Day, we talk about how special moms are and how they're to be honored and revered, and that's true, they are. And then Father's Day comes along and we beat up on the dads. And I said, I don't like to do that. I don't want to beat us up. I mean, being dad's hard enough as it is, isn't it? Or is it just me? Fatherhood has many highs and lows, does it not? I mean, guys, let me talk to you just for a second. Have you ever had a higher moment? One of your top five moments had to be, you know, when you held your child, either at birth or by other means, when you received your child and you held them and you looked at them, and you said, "This is what God has given me." Is there anything better than that? I mean, it's awesome, isn't it? Then they start to grow up. I said highs and lows, you know, because there's all kinds of stuff. Elation to straight out chaos sometimes, is it not? Sometimes we find that we're less dad, we're more referee or judge, right? All right, y'all, come here, sit down. All right, what's the problem here? Here's this, this, this. You did this, okay? This is your judgment. This is your punishment. Go to your rooms. We kind of, whatever. We deal out the punishment, or we try to deal with things fairly. Now, come on, you had this. It's time his turn. She needs to have this sometime. You know, we try to be referees. We neighborhood issues come up. So-and-so hurt my feelings. Toughen up. Don't wear your feelings on your sleeve. What does that mean, Dad? I don't know, but my dad said it to me, so it's good for you too. Right? We find that being dad, around my house, I'm the chief doctor too. I mean, cuts and scrapes and burns and stuff, Mama goes, "Oh, go see daddy. So she comes and Daddy fixes all the stuff up, and we do all kinds of stuff. Mechanic, mowing, and then this is a racket, I think. But how about this? On Father's Day, let's give Dad a grill so he can cook. Which I like having a grill. I mean, I love a grill, but it kind of seems like a little bit of a, yeah. It's almost as bad as getting Mom a new blender so she can, or a new food processor or something so she can make, yeah, okay, I understand. In Matthew 18, if you have your Bibles, turn to Matthew 18. I want to talk to you a little bit about Jesus and his dealings with some of his disciples. And I told you that sometimes we feel like we're having to be a referee for our kids. Sometimes between our kids and mom, too, we have to referee. Anybody? Yeah? Okay. But Jesus felt himself kind of in the same position here. He was trying to have to referee between his disciples, his kids, if you will. The first part of chapter 18 of Matthew says this: Jesus, at that time, the disciples came to Jesus and asked, "Who is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven?" You see, Jesus had been teaching and he had been healing and doing all these miracles. And what were his disciples doing? "I'm going to be better than you are. No, I'm going to be better than you. No, I'm better. No, I'm more important than you are. No, 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 no. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Daddy! Daddy! Tell us. You solve it. You referee. You judge. Who's going to be the best? Say it's me. I'm going to be him, right?" These guys were 30 years old, though. 30-year-old guys with a bunch of big egos. I mean, you had Peter, right? Peter, "Well, I've got to be the most important because," he said, "upon you, I'm going to build my church. You're the rock." I mean, come on. Peter said, "Come on, guys. I'm the rock. I'm going to be the most important." John, can you imagine what he said? "Yeah, but I'm the beloved one. I'm the one that Jesus loves. You know, in the book of John, when he's writing, he doesn't refer to himself as, he doesn't say that I ran to the tomb. He says, but the one that Jesus loved ran in and got there first. You know, he refers to himself kind of in the third person there. Then you had, of course, Judas. We know what Judas became, but at this time, he was the money keeper. He was the financial guru. He was probably more educated than any of the others. I mean, he was of all the disciples, he was the CFO. He was the chief financial officer. Surely, he was going to be the most important one, right? All these guys that came arguing, I'm going to be in charge. Well, you're going to be under me, but I'm going to be more in charge. And let's think about that for a minute. Jesus comes on and he says, he called a little child and had him stand among them, and he said, I tell you the truth, unless you change and become like little children, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven. Therefore, whoever humbles himself like this child is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. He said, No. You don't get it, guys. It's not by being the rock. It's not by being the one that I love the most. It's not by being the chief financial officer. You got it all backwards. It's whoever comes to me as a child. And I want to look at that for a minute. What's the significance of coming as a child? He said, unless you come to me as a child, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven. He goes on, therefore, whoever humbles himself like this child is greatest in the kingdom of heaven. He says, you want to be great? You want to be the greatest? Right here's your example. So when we look at that picture, what do we gain from that? Being the child. How do we get an example? I mean, that's our example. What lesson do we get from that? How does a child relate to the father? Come on now. What's a child do? This big. He looks up to everybody. Right? He sees everybody is greater than he is or she is. They're like this. A lot of times. Right? Do this. Oh, dad. Whatever. And then later on as they grow up, it's more like this. I need the keys. I need some cash, Dad. I need to... You know, but it's still this action, I guess, whether here or here, but they're needy. They have a dependence on the father when mom's not around. They have a dependence. They're needy. They can't fend for themselves, and they know it, right? If they're hungry, they know they just have to cry out, and they get fed. They're humble. I mean, do they say, oh, I'm really hungry. Oh, but if I ask for food, it's going to make me look like I'm weak. Oh, I can't do that. I'm just going to have to tough it out. Do kids do that? Babies, I'm talking little, this big. Do they do that? No, they get hungry. They say, I'm hungry. Feed me. They're not ashamed. They're humble. They recognize, they say, I need something, I can't do it myself. Help me. That's humility. Recognizing that there's, I need something that I can't provide for myself. I need something and I have no way of getting it. And I'm not afraid to ask. I'm not too ashamed to say, I can't do this. I need you. That's humility. That's one thing we can learn from that example there. They look up and see everybody greater than themselves. How often do we look around and see people are greater than ourselves? A lot of times we look around and say, I'm better than so-and-so. I know I may not be the best. Matter of fact, I may not be doing very good at all, but at least I'm better than so-and-so. And so-and-so. And I can even tell you four other guys, too, I'm better than. Because they don't even go to church. They don't do this. Their language is even worse than mine, so I'm better than so-and-so. It's not what it's about. It's about seeing everyone as greater than ourselves. Jesus, he told him, he said, basically, guys, you're worried about the wrong thing. You're worried about who's going to be ranked what in the top 10 in heaven. And I'm telling you, you better be more concerned about even making it. Because unless you humble yourself as a child, you won't even see the kingdom. Jesus, he quiets that argument. He was acting like their father. He was acting like their father who has to act like a referee sometimes, right? God, he puts up with so much from us. He's understanding, he's loving, and he's patient, he's forgiving. Isn't he all that? But is he serious? Is he also serious when he says, I told you, what did I just tell you? Isn't that right? What number was that? I don't know, but it was pretty close. What did I just tell you? Didn't you? Were you not listening to me? I mean, he's serious sometimes. He says, let me tell you one thing you don't do. You don't do this. You don't have any other gods before me. Right? He says, remember the Sabbath and keep it holy. Honor your mother and father. Is he serious about those things? Absolutely. He's serious about it. But he's so serious about it and then so forgiving and loving at the same time. And I don't really understand all that. As a father, I try to be serious and understanding. But really, for me, it's easier to say, look, I'm going to be serious and let your mother be understanding. You won't come crying to somebody, go cry to her. Matter of fact, I'm going to make you cry and you can go to her. First John. Chapter 3, verse 1 says this. How great is the love the Father has lavished on us that we should be called children of God. You see, John writes it here in the Bible. He says, God loves us so much. And I love this word, lavished. I just love that word, lavished. He slathered it all over us. For us Deep East Texas kind of folk. He coated us so heavy with love that we should be called children of God. Children of God. He said, I love you. It's nothing you're doing. I just choose to love you. I love you so much, I'm going to let you be called my child. That is a perfect example of Father. But yet when we look at dads and fathers and examples of that here on earth, we often find something that falls short of that, don't we? I mean, let's talk about some kind of dads that maybe you've experienced or maybe you've seen or heard about that are less than ideal. I mean, this right here, how great is the love the Father has lavished on us that we should be called children of God. He chose you. But sometimes today we have these other kinds of dads. And maybe you had one of these kind of dads. Let me talk about a few of them. Distant dads. Anybody ever have a... Don't raise your hand. Maybe you had a distant dad. Dad who was more focused on recreation or work or the bowling league or whatever it was. Maybe he was emotionally disconnected from you. Maybe your dad was a no-show dad. You had events at the school and dads would come up to the school and you always looked around and everybody had their dads and your dad was nowhere around. He was off somewhere else. Maybe working, maybe doing something else. I don't know. But maybe that's the dad. Maybe you had a distant type of a dad. Often, distant dads leave their kids heartbroken, disappointed. You see, that's not the kind of dad that our God, the Father, is. He's not a distant dad. He's not a distant father. He's there always. He's omnipresent. He's with you wherever you are. If you're a child of His, He says, I'll never leave you and I'll never forsake you. I'm with you always, even till the very end of the age. I'll never leave you. I'm not going to be distant. Matter of fact, if there's any distance at all, it's not my fault because I'm pursuing you. If there's any distance there, it's because you're running. Maybe you had a demanding dad. Demanding dads can be very frustrating. Nothing's ever good enough. Daddy, I cleaned my room. You call that clean? My barn's cleaner than that. Get back in there and do it again. Daddy, I made these cookies. Tastes like horse feed. You ever had a demanding dad or seen a demanding dad? Maybe you washed dad's car. No pointing fingers now. Maybe you washed dad's car and dad comes out and says, it was cleaner before you started. You know, that's demanding. That's frustrating. Nothing's ever good enough. How about this? Dad, here's my report card. I got all A's and a B. What? A B? Didn't even notice the A's. A B? What are you doing with a B on your report card? But Dad, it was an 89.2. It doesn't matter, it's a B. You're supposed to be an A student. Rah, 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 rah. You've heard of those guys. What do you mean? How could you strike out? We've been working on this forever and ever and ever. You don't strike out. I know you had two home runs and a triple, but then you struck out. How could you fumble the ball? We never fumble the ball. You have to hold on to it. Demanding dads, they can be very frustrating. Maybe you had an abandoning dad or an abusive dad. Talk about pain, fear. That's not our Father. In 1 John 4, chapter 18, John says, there is no fear in love, but perfect love drives out fear. Because fear has to do with punishment. The one who fears is not made perfect in love. You see, all these characteristics of some dads that we've talked about here, you know, maybe you had a dad like that, maybe you didn't. Maybe you had a great dad, but maybe you knew somebody that some of these characteristics kind of fits them. But here's the deal. What we often do is we think, okay, God is called my Father. Well, I know about fathers. Let me take the characteristics of my father or my friend's father or my neighbor's father, and that's got to be what God is because He's my Father. This is how fathers act. That's going to be how God acts. You know, they're abusive. They're abandoning. They're demanding. Nothing's ever good enough. They're distant. They're never there for you. You see how that's backwards? The truth is that God says, I'm the example. I'm the example. And if your dads are not this, I'm sorry. But I am not. I'm never distant. I'm always there. I'm demanding, but I'm forgiving and I'm loving. I'm not abandoning. I'm not abusive. We try to put these human characteristics on God instead of accepting the godly characteristics and applying them to our life. And if you think, I'll tell you this, if you think that God the Father is, you put those characteristics on Him because of the way you know fatherhood, you've experienced a dad, you experienced fathers, you experienced some of these characteristics in fathers, and so you try to put those characteristics on God, let me tell you something. If that's the case, then I would say you need to ask yourself a question if you've really met my Heavenly Father. Because once you know my Heavenly Father, once you get to know Him, you'll understand that he's not like any other dad you've ever seen or heard of. He's not like any other father you've ever experienced. Not like any other father you've ever even read about. Because he loves you without condition. He doesn't say, I love you when you do good stuff. He doesn't say, I love you when you try your best. He doesn't say, I love you when... He says, I love you, period. I love you because I choose to love you. I love you. And I'm going to be there for you. In Romans chapter 8. It's our last passage today. Romans chapter 8, verses 15 and 16. It says, for you did not receive a spirit that makes you a slave again to fear, but you received the spirit of sonship. And by him we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself testifies with our spirit that we are God's children. You see, God's Spirit testifies with our spirit and says, it's true. It's true. You've been adopted. You have a daddy. You see, the word Abba is literally translated daddy. What's the first, one of the first words that babies learn after mama? Sometimes it's dada. I don't remember. Was it dada? Okay, I was first. But here's the deal. This word, Abba, Father, when Jesus was, when he introduced this, and he said, you can call God daddy. That's what it really means, daddy, dada. He said, you can call that. Tell you what, the Pharisees and the Sadducees and the everyone else you see, they got all kind of upset. They're like, oh, you can't do that. That's sacrilegious. You can't call God dada. How silly is that? That's childish. That's disrespectful. Let me tell you something. When a man is being dad, and he's being dad in the fullest sense of the word, there's nothing more respectful than to say daddy. I love that. That's one of my favorite titles, daddy. I cherish it. I love it. And God says, you can call me daddy because that's the kind of relationship I want to have with you. One of the most famous, most often quoted passages in all of Scripture. Y'all know what it is? Guess? John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. God loves you. He wants you to call him dad. He wants you to have that kind of relationship with him. Not like anything you've ever had on earth, but better than that. The most pure type of father-child relationship. He says, you can call me daddy. And I love you. Matter of fact, I love you so much that I gave my own son for you. That's how much he loves you. Will you cry out to him? Will you come like Jesus said as a child? Will you reach up and say, daddy, father, I need you. There's stuff I can't do by myself. I'm going to humble myself and come because I know you can. Will you help me? That's what a real dad is. That's what a real dad is. A dad says, yes, I'm here to help you. Sometimes dad says, yes, the best way for me to help you is to discipline you. Part of being dad too. Sometimes part of being dad is just saying, you know what, you don't deserve something, but I'm just going to bless you with something right now. How about we go get ice cream? Aren't you glad God pours ice cream on us sometimes? Blessings? Yes, I'm thankful for those. We can learn a thing or two from God about being a father, guys. And gals, when you look at Dad, understand that he's trying. He's struggling. And he's got a lot on his plate. So pray for him. Pray for him that he'll continue to grow and be that godly dad that God's called him to be. Be understanding that while God is perfect, your daddy's not so perfect. But he's trying. He struggles. But he's trying and he's struggling because he loves you. Father's Day. It's a great day. Maybe we honor our fathers. I think about my father. I miss him. I wish he was here. I'll see him in a couple weeks. Some of you can't do that. But there's one father who'll never leave you. He'll never leave you. As we get ready to close this part of the service, want us to spend some quiet time in just in reflection. Maybe thinking about your dad. Think about the lessons you can learn from him. Maybe if you're a dad or a man, thinking about what kind of dad you want to be. And my hope and my prayer is that you'll be challenged to be a dad that honors God in all that you do. We need dads like that. We need dads like that church. We need dads like that in our homes. Will you be that kind of dad? I pray that you do. If you still have your dad, God bless you. Are you understanding of your dad? Do you understand that he struggles? Do you understand that he's trying? He loves you. But his love cannot compare to the love of the Father. The most purest, the most true kind of love ever known. Experience that. As we stand, we're going to sing a song. And just use this time to maybe resolve within your heart, I'm going to be the kind of father that God has called me to be. Or maybe I'm going to pray for my husband, I'm going to pray for my dad that he'll be that kind of father that God has called him to be. And I'm going to do my part to help support and help affirm and be all that I need to be so that he can be all that he needs to be. We're on the same team. Let's pray for one another, lift each other up. If you need to come forward and talk to me, I'll be here. We're just going to spend a few moments in quiet while the praise team sings.